listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and Dr. Melody Fox will not be with us today. She has a busy schedule, and so she will be working in Newport Beach. But sitting in with me today as co-host is one of the stars of the new hit series, Bounty Wars, Art Torres.
Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to be here, and I'm definitely not Melody, so don't get confused.
That's right.
We are going to be talking about, I guess, etiquette today, correct?
Absolutely, and you know, when I think about etiquette and manners, I think about bounty hunters.
Absolutely. There is a method to our madness.
That's right. Well, each week we're going to bring guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. But we will address issues across the board, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've really been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in this field who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And we'll continue to bring you these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, as I said in the beginning, our topic today is etiquette, etiquette and manners. Now, this is something that I think a lot of us may have forgotten about, especially today we're in this world of texting and email and everything else. So I think that we've kind of gotten away from it a little bit. And to talk more about it will be our guest today, who is Louise Fox. Now, Louise is the founder of the International Etiquette Company of Ladies, and she hosts a TV show called MannersTV.com. She's the author of Take a Bite Out of Bad Manners and Etiquette Tips for Children. Louise, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're really good to be able to have you here, and I got a chance to talk to Jan, who's the producer of the show. I got a chance to read the book a little bit, and when we went over this, we really thought, you know what? This really is something that is meant for the family, because it's something that we're supposed to pass down. That's part of our job, I think, as parents, to pass down the right type of manners and etiquette to our children so that they will be able to go into situations that might be unusual for them or something that they haven't dealt with.
Absolutely. You know, you don't send your children to their hockey practice or to soccer without the right equipment. So definitely when you're putting your children out into the world, you need to think about what do they need to be successful.
That's right. And along those lines, I mean, you know, what do you think having good manners means today as maybe it may have been, you know, 20 years ago?
Well, 20 or more years ago, it was about a lot of social graces. Women wore white gloves, men tipped their hat, they stood up when a woman came to the table, they opened the car door for women and that sort of thing. Well, we fought for equality in the workplace, and things have kind of changed, and plus the addition of new technology brought a whole bunch of rules that had previously not existed, like using your cell phone in public places and that sort of thing, and people have become busier and life is more stressful. There's more opportunities for rudeness today, and there's anonymity that allows us to escape from the repercussions that there used to be 20 or more years ago when you misbehaved as a child or bullied someone on the street. Their mother called your mother.
Right.
And complained about it. Today, you don't even know who your neighbors are. We're traveling, you know, in our cars and into our garages with a garage door opener, and we don't even see our neighbors or know who they are. So you can get away with a lot more today is what I'm saying. And, you know, those simple things, and some of the social courtesies are not really what it's all about. It's about treating people with respect and courtesy.
Well, you know,
thinking
Louise,
about how your actions affect other people.
Louise, this is Art. You know, I'll tell you this. I have 6 children that I've raised, and they're all pretty much gone. And I can tell you right now, without some sort of manners and some sort of etiquette, if just life itself, it is difficult to raise children. And, you know, to have 6 of them, as I have, Definitely have to have some kind of order, because if not, it's just it's
it would
ridiculous.
Be complete chaos.
Absolutely, absolutely.
For you and the family, and you know, if we didn't have manners, that's what it would be like.
Yeah, I've
no
been
rules
out.
Of the road, no rules of conduct. You could just do whatever you felt like, where some people still believe you can do whatever you feel like, and not have any regard for how you affect other people, how you not only hurt other people's feelings, but even table manners. If we didn't have table manners and you could just grab food, well, all the smaller people would be starving.
I wouldn't have a problem with. There. But, you know, I will tell you this. You know, I've been out to dinner with when my children were small, and they all, you know, acted appropriately, and I could see people around looking, appreciating the fact that my kids were, I mean, they were fun and being young, but you know, they didn't go nuts. And I've been with friends of mine's kids, you know, they've got two children and they're like animals. I mean, they're on the walls, they're all over. People are, you know, can't wait for this to leave, you know. So it definitely
absolutely.
Has, yeah, absolutely has a fact to it for sure.
And of course, then you don't get invited back usually unless it's a family,
yeah.
A family affair, and they feel they have to invite you. So really, it's a lot of manners are just really common sense. They make it easier for us to get along with others.
Yeah,
and of course, avoid chaos.
Now, what factors have you seen that you think have brought about this particular change?
Well, certainly, mom's not normally at home anymore in a lot of families. She's out working, so that in itself is very stressful and takes time away from family time. Parents have focused more on developing particular interests with the child, like soccer, hockey, ballet, gymnastic, cheerleading, you name it, and not focusing so much on the child's perhaps behavior or self-esteem or confidence. And they're not worried about manners. They're focused on other things. Everyone's in a big hurry. Get in the car. Got to take you to your lessons. We'll grab some food on the way. So we drive into one of a million fast food places. Kids eat in the back of the car, and it's rush, rush, rush. The population density is a factor. Technology is a factor. The media is a huge factor. And people are really quite isolated today. Kids are all wired up listening to music. Parents don't even know what kind of music their children like if they don't ask them. And, you know, in my day, I can remember my mother saying, turn that down, that's awful, that kind of thing. But today parents don't even realize what their children might be listening to or watching or viewing on the computer. And families have very little family time. And weekends are not for taking kids out and having fun. They're for doing chores and going shopping at the grocery store and that kind of thing today. And people don't even sit at the dining room table anymore. I think it's something like between 2 and 3 meals, maybe a family together in a week, where they would actually eat together, all different schedules, all different times. People are standing by the microwave, you know, each eating their own meal, or they're lined up at an island. And everybody's watching TV, so I don't have to look at my child and see if they're chewing with their mouth open or any other obnoxious, disrespectful behavior.
Well, you know, Luis, you know, you brought a good subject up, and you kind of just barely hit on it. But I think back in the day, mom was home, dad was out working, and mom was raising the kids. I think in this day and age, mom and dad are both working, and the kids are raising themselves. And I think
that's right.
I think that's where the problem is.
That's unfortunately true in many cases. And you know, if they have a certain amount of means, they can bring someone in to raise their children as a nanny or you know, an after school babysitter. But very often that doesn't happen. And so the focus is not on conduct and being considerate of others. It's really about looking after yourself. And now parents are starting to realize the consequences of that sort of behavior, you know, of their lack of involvement. I mean, it's good for my business, don't get me wrong, because it comes a point where the parents say, oh my gosh, I've got a 12-year-old child who doesn't know how to eat. How did that happen?
That's a good point.
The important thing to remember is that, you know, you actually start teaching your children manners from the time they're born, When you care for your child, you're showing them about consideration for others. And, you know, we feed them and cuddle them when they cry and so on. Those actions are teaching your children empathy and showing that you can understand their needs and so on. So we really begin at the beginning. And the most important aspect of it all, of course, is you, as parents, have to model good behavior at home.
Now, Louise, you mentioned about kids, in essence, raising themselves. And I know even in, you know, in my day, you know, we were called latchkey kids, you know, meaning we were all going out and doing and trying to figure these things out ourselves. But I don't think that it was still really as much of a problem as it is now, because now it isn't even so much that we're raising ourselves. It's as if the media is raising us, because now it's the thing of the kids watching MTV. And if you have somebody who's on there that is saying, it's all about me, it's all about me, screw everybody else, it's all about me. Okay, that's now who has an influence, rather than us who may have been latchkey because both parents were working. Well, us kids, we would still do things that was things that our parents had already kind of taught us to do. You know, we still had rules.
No, I agree with you 100%. And it's quite frightening to think of that, because, well, we all know about reality TV, and bad behavior is what sells the show.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. You know, and not to jump in real quickly here, but just, you know, I've done some transports for Alan, and it's amazing that within 5 minutes, a child that supposedly is going to cut everybody's head off, when we start talking to them, and within 5 minutes, they are got it together, yes sir, no sir. And to this day, it's still a phenomenon to me. Within 5-10 minutes, these kids are absolutely cooperating and understanding what we're saying, and yes sir, no sir. It's incredible to me.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I find that children who come to manners class actually are, oddly enough, are already quite well behaved, because the parents who are focused on good manners and want their children to be able to conduct themselves with social graces are the ones that have actually taught some manners at home, and they're concerned about it and recognize its value. So when the children that come to me are usually certainly quite well behaved. Now, they might not be so well behaved at home, but that's been the case, I think, in everybody's home. The kids are better when they go out than they are at home. But certainly, it's amazing when they really understand what it's about and how life is so much easier for you. If you are respectful of others, you tend to get respect in return. So, you know, that's what's making teaching children manners and etiquette so much fun, because they're actually quite keen. Now, the badly behaved children don't come to manners class, because their parents are probably badly behaved too, and they don't recognize that it has any value, maybe until it's too late.
Well, Louise,
it's never too late.
Yeah, Louise, let me ask you this, because Art touched on something, which is structure. Now, do you find that most of the kids that are now coming to your class, are they craving that structure? I mean, is that really something that they are craving and that they do need, because they're not getting it anywhere else?
I think they do, and I think they actually are getting some of that at home. In many instances, the parents, they recognize the value, but they may not know themselves what would be appropriate. So in terms of, you know, being considerate of others, certainly the children are much, much better at it than some other children that I've viewed, which Art mentioned, in restaurants and so on, misbehaving, and parents saying nothing. So I think that children do need structure. And, you know, the time to talk about manners is not when you're sitting in the restaurant and your children are misbehaving. The time to talk about it is before you go out, and not always make it a situation where you're reprimanding your children, because nobody enjoys that. Adults don't enjoy that. They don't enjoy doing it and don't enjoy receiving it. So if you focus on the positive, and you teach your children how you expect them to behave before you go out, and make it fun and make it interesting, children are more likely to behave when they know how.
Well, Louise, now how would we get this in the schools? Because it sounds like part of the problem, as we put it together, is that we as the parents are not spending enough time with them, which means, you know, teachers are probably spending more time with our children than we are. So how do we get this in the school? I know that when I was a room dad, one of the issues in the school that, you know, as I spent more time around the teachers, was many of the parents were not supportive of the teachers trying to provide any sort of structure for their child. In fact, we had many parents that were constantly, you know, calling, complaining, you know, my son said that you made him do this, my son said you made him do that. You know, that certainly wasn't what it was before, because if a teacher called in the past and said that I had been acting out or somebody had been acting out at school, we were in trouble, rather than mm-hmm. now being,
exactly.
rather than the parent calling the school and trying to get the teacher in trouble for trying to establish some boundaries with their child.
Well, you know, it's very difficult, but I see that schools are starting to recognize that it has value. I think that they, for a long time now, have not thought that it had value. Like, there was a whole generation perhaps from the 60s on, where manners were not considered very important. It was more important to be the real you and do what, you know, let your hair down and be yourself without realizing what the real meaning of manners is, about respect and consideration. Even table manners is about respect, so I'm not going to spit food all over you. That kind of thing. People sort of lost all that. And there was a whole generation that has not had any background and training. And then a second generation again, where parents began working, both parents began working and had no time to teach anybody anything, if they even thought about it themselves. So I think it's been difficult, but I'm seeing a turn in that schools are starting to recognize it, and I know you see more structure in charter schools and that sort of thing, a whole different focus. I mean, I have gone into schools to work with children, usually at the request of the parents, rather than the parents' association, rather than at the request of the school itself. And so I would be doing that after 4, doing lunch periods and that sort of thing. And I think now I'm seeing more interest in schools doing it. Because I've been in schools where I was actually appalled. If the teacher hadn't been larger, I couldn't really identify who the teacher was. They were, you know, all sitting on the floor, and I don't know, I would call it lollygagging around and carrying on and squealing, and
sure.
It was just quite disorderly. And, you know, I only picked the teacher out by the size rather than behavior.
Right.
So hey, Louise, I think there's going to be a change.
I've got a question for you, and I was just thinking about this. Do you find in your experience that children that go to, say, a private school versus a public school have a different way of looking at it? And the reason why I say that is because one of my daughters went to a prestigious high school here in the Valley, and I found it amazing that the drugs and all that was just the same as in a public school. I mean, because you're talking with children that have tons of money, you know, the parents are filthy rich. And I always wonder, do you find that the children that come from the private school somewhat have that edification, I guess, or I'm not sure even what the word is, but have that ability to learn faster than the people that come from a public school only because of the difference in the economy?
Well, that's a really difficult question. I think many times it really depends on the school. When it comes to drugs and misbehavior, you know, children are going to misbehave regardless if they're so inclined, I think. I don't think it would make a difference to some of those children. My own children went to a private school, and I think it had more to do with the fact that we had already instilled some, you know, basic rules about respect before they went to the school. I'm not sure that the school itself had a lot of impact, although it did have structure. You had to dress a certain way. You were expected to call your teacher, you know, sir, and that kind of thing. They knew how to introduce themselves. They were fairly confident because the school spirit sort of thing had been developed. So it was good that way, but I think if you put a bad kid or, you know, a child who hasn't had much parental influence in his life for one reason or another, whatever it might be, into a private school, it may not make that much difference. See, if he's going to be a rebel, he'll be a rebel wherever he is.
Well, Louise, while we're talking about schools, we have a listener question that is coming in to us, and this one reads, I am a fifth grade teacher in Louisville, Kentucky. During the last 15 years, I have observed a downward spiral with our students. Their manners are atrocious, and their language with each other, as well as with their teachers, is increasingly, and this is, quote, smart-mouthed. When I speak with parents, they're apologetic, but they did not really appear to be willing or capable to attempt to manage their children's manners. What approach do you recommend for those of us in the education field?
Well, and it's such a pervasive problem. I think that just as in the workplace, the school itself has to decide on a civility policy. What is going to be considered a policy in their school for teachers, for students, and so on, and have a zero tolerance. Just as they are developing policies on bullying, this is all part of that sort of behavior. So they have to think about it, work on it, and develop programs early on with younger children, with the youngest, starting in grade one, about manners, and make it part of what the school does and what behavior is expected.
I mean, you know,
and it's not an easy task, and when teaching children myself, I have so much respect for teachers. I don't know how they do it day in and day out. I really don't.
Well, Luis, you know, it's funny you're saying that. As you're saying that, I was thinking about the internet, you know, the bullying through the internet, and, you know, kids are taking their lives. I mean, if there's that much influence through the internet, through the school, through all the, you know, the social radios and the online stuff, I mean, somewhere someone has to take order of this, don't they? And just, you know, regardless of the time that we're in or the economy that we're in, someone has to sit there and put some order, I think, from the principal or whoever the head person is in that school down to the parent. I mean, and I find myself personally, I mean, I've done these transports, and I honestly believe that we need a program for parents.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
I agree. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, it's never too late to learn. But the problem is parents, they all of a sudden they have got a rebellious teenager who has no manners and is disrespectful to everyone that he encounters. And they just throw up their hands and they don't know where to begin. And before it becomes a real behavior problem, I mean, there's nothing difficult about learning how to conduct yourself. But we have to remember as parents, and I'm one too, that you can't be telling your child how to behave, and the next thing you know, you're shouting at your husband, a big war is erupting, you're saying what a crappy jerk lives next door, and all that kind of thing. You can't be telling your children to do one thing if you're not modeling that sort of behavior yourself.
So what you're saying is basically I should get rid of the wife? No, I'm only kidding. you know, my question to that too, and I'll tell you, it's funny because the philosophies are so different sometimes. My dad was the 5'4" Hispanic guy. And to this day, you know, he's 81 years old. I don't think I would try to fight him. But I knew when he meant business, I mean, after the do it now, there was going to be an unbelievable butt kicking going down.
Yeah.
I think I see a lot of parents that do this, you know, go stand in the corner or let's talk about it. Or, I honestly believe in my children. Listen, all six of my children got one good spanking. I mean, one that was enough for them to remember. And I'm telling you, I've never had to lay a hand on them ever again. And I have I have one of my sons that's about 6'5", about 275 pounds. You'll see him on the show with us. To this day, when I talk, I mean, even on the show, you hear him and I getting into it. But if I really got angry and raised my voice, he just look at me and go, okay, Dad, I get it. I mean, I think that's where we've lost all that psycho mumbo jumbo of, you know, the children are a tree and we need to, you know, put the water in the tree and let the fruit grow. Hey, listen, you know, children are children. If you let them go bananas, they're going to go bananas. If you get a hold of them and hold on to them, they're going to be great. They're going to be good children. And I'm telling you, from the transports that I've done, I transported for Alan over 7 years, and I've seen every kind of kid. It is amazing to me looking at the report about this child that, he's going to chop your hair off. And when we get there, within 10 minutes, he's, hey, guys, I appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents aren't listening to me. You know, they're crying. They're talking to us. And by the time we're done, you know, taking them from California and dropping them off in New York, they're, like, hugging us. Like, hey, literally giving us a stranger
right.
a hug.
And you've spent time with them, and you've being respectful towards them, and you've been as gentle as you could allow to be with them. You know, I can sense the frustration of parents. Or, you know, mom's working and she's got 2-hour commute, and she comes home and she's tired, and the child has done something, and so she says, sit in the corner, or whatever her method is, or now you can't watch TV. And, you know, then the kid becomes even more annoying, so she just says, oh, well, go watch TV. You know, they're tired and frustrated and stressed out with life, and people aren't spending time. Not only do they have no time to show that they care about each other, but they're just not spending time communicating how, you know, what kind of a day did you have, or, you know, people don't even say hello to each other anymore. So,
no, you're right.
I think all of the factors that we've spoken about, and, you know, the hurry syndrome and the stress and the economy and technology and the media and always showing bad behavior, you know, even in our politicians and so on, it's just a contributing factor in what the results are that we have today.
No.
Mind you, children, every generation has said the kids today are worse than they ever were.
Well,
I
definitely agree with you. And I find it fascinating. It looks to me sometimes I see the children raising the parents. You know, the children are setting the mark, and the parents are running around in circles, not understanding why their kids are, you know, going crazy, and they're just chasing them around. It's amazing to me. If I had to chase my child around, it would be one time only. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I think it's the whole new generation of thinking of, you know, children are blooming flowers. Listen, this child, if you don't pay attention to him, and I know because I've transported so many of them, if you don't pay attention and put him on the right guideline, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. You know, water's going to find its own level for sure.
Yes. And I was lucky. I didn't really have any issues with my children, with bad behavior or temper tantrums or any of that sort of thing. But I was an older parent, and I did spend a lot of time with them. And interestingly enough, I found some of the most tremendous, fabulous children that I've had in classes were actually homeschooled.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
One
right.
I remember one young boy, I said to him, he was talking about his mom and so on, and I said, does your mother work? And he said, oh yes, my mother works really hard.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, it's none of my business as to what she does.
Sure.
Yeah,
but he said, she's a stay-at-home mom, that's her job.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And now, of course, I have no statistics on any of, you know, this is just a general observation, but the children that I've had whose parents spent a lot of time with them are usually quite lovely.
Well, let me just to back that up, I was lucky, or I guess my children were lucky. During the young ages of my 6 children, my wife was a stay-at-home, and it made all the difference in the world. But I'm not saying that that should be a reason why they should be good. I mean, if both parents have to work, I mean, they have to work, right? I mean, someone has to pull the line here and be in charge. I mean, that's what I think. It was.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And maybe we need this bit off the topic, refocus on what's important in life. Is it our relationships or is it our stuff? And,
exactly.
You know, generally speaking, we have too much stuff.
Well, you got
and the
that
last
right.
part of your life, you want to get rid of all that stuff. But if you haven't got any relationships, you're pretty lonely.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a great point when you talked about that boy who recognized the fact that his mother worked very hard because he was there and he saw it. Because we also run into many children that if you ask them, and what does, you know, what does your father do or what does your mother do when they go to work? They don't have a clue. In fact, I had one boy who said, I don't know, he goes to the building, we've driven past it before and he's pointed it out. But yet the boy doesn't know how hard he works because he has no idea what it is that he actually does. Now, Louise, we're going to take a break. Now, for everybody out there, if you want to learn more about Louise, you can go to her website. It's www.mannerstv.com. That's MannersTV.com. She is the author of Take a Bite Out of Bad Manners, Etiquette Tips for Kids. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back. We are talking with Louise Fox. Her book is Take a Bite Out of Bad Manners, Etiquette Tips for Children. And when we went to break, we were talking a little bit more about the bigger picture. You know, as far as, you know, it's more than just etiquette, it's more than just manners. It really is spending time with your children. And while you're spending time with them, why not teach them a little etiquette and manners?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's common sense. A lot of things are common sense. But you know, model that behavior. Every time you say please, every time you say thank you, I'm sorry, you're welcome, you do that at home. And children get used to hearing that, and it becomes an automatic thing.
Yeah, you're
and that's what you want.
Yeah,
you want it to be automatic so that the child doesn't just save good behavior for when you're out. You do it at home, too. You eat properly at the table. You say please and thank you. You greet each other in the morning. You put on a happy face, as my mother used to say. Put on a happy face.
Right, right,
right. And I think, I mean, those
are
all...
Be kind to each other.
Yeah, and that makes great sense. If there was one single most important thing that parents can do to instill good manners in their children, what would that be?
Well, I think it all starts with modeling good behavior at home so children can observe your behavior and follow what you do. And that's how children learn. Everything that can be learned needs to be taught. So don't always be correcting. Prepare your children and show them what proper behavior is and what you expect from them. And treat your children with respect, too. And you know, show respect to others so that you're not having fights in front of your children. You're not swearing out the window in traffic and shouting at people or giving them the finger and all those kinds of things. And, you know, that's what you start right away in your home when children come into your family. That's what you do. And those are all common sense kinds of things. But often if we look in the mirror and say, you know, is my own behavior above reproach? We realize that maybe it isn't. So it can't just be, you know, do what I say.
Right.
It should be do what I do.
Exactly. And you just mentioned about being in your home, which I think now, knowing that the children's friends are so important to them, what do you think parents should do when the children's friends come over and have bad manners?
Well, you know, that's always a touchy subject. But they are in your home, and grandparents have asked me this very same question when their grandchildren come and they bring a friend with them who has bad table manners or is disrespectful or so on. It's your home. You say, in our home, this is what we do. So when you're in my home, this is what you do too. What you do at home is up to you. But here, we don't go into people's fridges without asking. If you want to use the phone, you would ask me those kinds of things, and you know, you say, this is how we eat in our family, and show them. That's not making a judgment call that they're doing something wrong. It's just saying, when you're in my home, this is what I expect.
You know what I usually do?
And, you know, children, your children shouldn't run rampant, and obviously if you've taught them, they don't. So their friends need to behave to the rules of the house.
Hey, Luis, you know what I usually do is when the friends come over, I grab a chicken, you know, out of the thing with the chicken neck still connected, and I take a butcher's knife and I just chop it, and I look at them, and that's all I got to do. That's it. I'm gonna kill
you. Wait. Along those lines, I need to tell a story about a dear friend of Art and mine, and his name is Logan. And when his daughter was going to go to her first prom, The boy was getting ready to come over, and when the boy came to the door, they opened the door, and the boy walked in, and Logan was sitting there with his guns, and he had them spread out on his table, and he was cleaning them, and he said, "Oh, you're early. Come on over. Sit down. Let's talk about your date with my daughter." And he said it became the most polite young man he had ever been around.
That's awesome. I love that. That's
but you know what? Probably, I mean, it's a terrific story and it's a funny story, but probably that the talk itself what we very often don't do, you know, and you know that's important. Know who your children's friends are, and to have a conversation with them.
Absolutely, and for those fathers out there, I mean, I can't imagine any father allowing a guy to pull up and honk the horn and have his teenage daughter run out without that guy coming to the door. I mean, when I hear about that, I mean, it just amazes me that a parent even allows that to happen to begin with.
Well, that's right. And, of course, if nobody has taught the lad, he becomes an adult that still doesn't do that. Or, you know, that's part of my corporate business is actually going into corporations and teaching them to say hello in the morning and to not grab the first seat in the boardroom and that kind of thing. I mean, it's we laugh about it, but that's what happens.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Haven't had it.
I had a child. I had one when my daughter first started dating. He did that. He honked the horn. So I ran out there and jumped in his car. That was the last time he did that.
That's right.
I love it.
Well, and, you know, chivalry in the workplace is not an expectation, but certainly women appreciate chivalrous behavior. And a smart man would know that if he behaves in a chivalrous manner and opens a car door and shows respect, that he is more likely to form a nice relationship with the person. Whether it goes any further, it's nothing to do with it, but certainly it makes a big impact on whether you get a second date.
Yeah, that's true.
If you conduct yourself with politeness. And it's always surprising to me that men haven't realized that.
Well,
even cooperation in the home, you know, helping out once in a while, hubby helping out, bringing tea in the morning or a cup of coffee to his wife in the morning, helping with the preparation of a meal or cleaning up after and those kinds of things can make a big difference.
And you bring up a great point, because that's what you're modeling for those children. If those children see that you as a father is being very respectful and very loving to your wife, that more than likely is going to be the way in which they're going to treat their love interest and vice versa. But, you know, if they see parents that are fighting, if they see parents that are not respecting each other, I mean, why wouldn't they think that that's the way that it happens once you become adults? So that's important.
And then, of course, they turn on the television and everybody's fighting. So they think that it's quite normal to be that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a comment that is coming in, so I'd like to share it with you. This one reads, in our little community outside Los Angeles, we have implemented a program where senior citizens weekly visit the grammar school, the first through third grade classrooms. It says, we began the program because of a large percentage of our students do not have grandparents or elders who live close by that can spend time with them. As a result of this interaction, we are observing that the students are much more attentive, respectful, and considerate of all involved.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it touches on a great point, is as everybody moves away and gets further and further away from family, they're not having that influence, a great influence of grandparents that can help teach them a lot of these things.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
there's a wonderful
point.
Website run by a friend of mine called A Grandparents Guide, which I also write for. And it's all kinds of wonderful things that grandparents can do with their grandchildren. You know, tips and activities and fun ways of teaching etiquette and fun ways of doing things and cooking kinds of skills and that sort of thing. But I think that's a wonderful program. and they're seeing positive results from that.
Absolutely, and it's great to get, I mean, and if these are retired people, they're probably getting as much out of it by spending time with these young kids as well.
That's right.
So now, Louise, I want to hit on just a few quick questions. We have about 10 minutes left, but I think there's a lot of things that the average person may think about, and maybe they're wondering, I mean, has some of these things changed? So some kind of quick, simple questions are, in this day and age of internet, are thank you cards still necessary?
I get asked that question quite a lot, actually, and the fact is, well, starting out with, how about just thank you? Is it important to even say thank you? Because it seems that it's becoming quite rare. But certainly, a thank you is always appropriate. And a thank you card, even more so. Yes, it's rare, but that's why it has so much impact. And, you know, children need to learn teach them from an early age the importance of thank you, and that you write a card, and then when somebody gives you a gift or when you stay at someone's home, it's gracious and important to say thank you. Even young children who can't write can dictate what they want to say. You talk about it, you make it fun, you can have stickers, and children can draw pictures, or you can take a picture of them with the gift and send it to grandma or to, you know, Aunt Helen or whoever it is. It is very important, and it's important to remember that as adults, we need to teach our children to do that, because they're not automatically going to say, Mom, could I have a pen and paper because I'm going to write a thank you card? They're not going to do it unless you work at it with them, that's what you do. And make it fun. Get some jazzy stationery or draw pictures or get markers and make it a craft activity, something that you do with your children. And that means that you have to do it too. Well, and often as adults, we think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. She knows I'm grateful.
No,
but, you know, expressing grateful is really a wonderful thing. It not only makes you feel better when you express gratitude, but the other person as well. Yeah. So it's a two-way street. They feel better, and you also feel good, too.
Yeah, you know what? And I couldn't agree more, and we've actually done shows on gratitude and appreciation. We've done an entire show because I firmly believe, I agree completely, that is a huge thing that we're not getting as much of as we should in society right now. And I'm glad that you agree about the thank you cards, because actually one of my sons told me that I was old school because I was sending some thank you cards. And he's like, Dad, that's old school, man. You just shoot out an email. And I go,
yeah,
well,
or text message.
Yeah.
You don't have to spell the words correctly. Put them in the short form. LUV it or something like that. But no, because it does take some time and effort. I mean, that's what's so precious today is time. So it really does show appreciation. Sure, you have to get the card and you have to do this and this and mail it and write it and everything else. But the person who's receiving that card gets a real nice feel-good feeling. And we even tell people in a job when they're applying for jobs that after an interview that they should send a thank you for taking the time to interview me.
Yep. You know, I had some friends come over to the house one time, and they were from Vegas, and they left, and I went in the bedroom where they were staying. My bedroom, where they were staying at, they had left me a little thank you card, and I thought, man, that is so classy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, you wouldn't think about that twice, because I've known them for 20 years, but that was something else. I looked at it, and I went, man, I mean, it
isn't that nice? And you know what? They might get invited back, so even better for them, too.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And certainly the hostess gift follows in that same line when you go to someone's house to stay or you're going over for a meal. Should you take something? Yes, absolutely you should.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about texting, and we've got about 5 minutes left. Now, it seems like that's a whole new world now when it comes to etiquette and manners. So especially, and you even mentioned about the fact of misspelling words and everything else. Can you give us a little bit of an update? Is there a etiquette, manners and such as it relates to texting and email?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing people need to do before they, first of all, if you're sitting across from someone and texting someone else, that's rude.
Absolutely.
The person you are with is the most important person, not the person who's not with you on the end of the phone. And people always say, but what if it's an emergency? Oh my gosh, did we never have emergencies in the last, before the last 5 years when texting became important? And I see people sitting across and texting each other rather than talking. You know, if this continues, we're all going to lose our vocal cords. It'll be,
that might be a
Darwinians
good thing,
will say we don't need them anymore. But really, I think people need to stop and think before they text, because even with an email, you know, when there's no voice or facial cues, people get into that flaming, that circle of flaming where they misread what the person's actually saying. And you see a lot of that in texting because it's become quite abbreviated and it's even quicker. And people are squabbling and fighting within 3 minutes of texting each other because they haven't stopped to think or give the benefit of the doubt or whatever. But certainly, it's even though you're not speaking, so it's less annoying in some respects than cell phone conversations, you know, with the person's talking too loud in a quiet place and all that. It still shows that you're not focused on the person that you're with, so it's not appropriate.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. And I think it increases that whole hurry syndrome. Like today, if you don't text back in the next instance, people start to get offended. Well, where were you? Why didn't you answer me? And that sort of thing. So it's, yes, it's a whole different ball game. And really, you know, I think we're going to lose our spelling if we're not careful about all that sort of thing. I know that it's costing more to do it appropriate, but still, as with an email, you never know who's going to see it or where it's going to be ending up and that sort of thing. So we need to be cautious and use some common sense.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
And absolutely.
And in getting texts, there are times in which I'll go ahead and just, rather than answer with a text, I'll just call because I don't understand the inflection of the message. In other words,
that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
Are you being
very important?
Yeah. Are you being sarcastic or aren't you? I can't tell because there's no inflection in that particular message. So, and maybe again, maybe my kids will say it's old school, but you know, I'd rather pick up the phone and call and go, not sure I understand. So let's just have a conversation.
Well, that's right, and those text messages can go back and forth so many times that you it could have been all said and done with a phone call. Yeah, so question yourself, what should I do? Should I, which would be the smartest thing to do?
My favorite thing on a text is I write back, huh, H-U-H, because a lot of times I don't know what they're saying. I don't get it. I'm like, huh? They get tired.
I've had to send very many of those, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, yes.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Well, Louise, the time has flown by. I just want to tell you thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad that we have people like you out there that will hopefully keep this from becoming a lost art. We don't want etiquette. We don't want manners to become a lost art. I think it's something that's important, and it's important that we pass it on to our kids. So again, thank you so much. And again, for everybody out there, if you want to get a hold of Louise, you can go to the website, www.mannerstv.com. If you want to get her book, again, it's called Take a Bite Out of Bad Manners, Etiquette Tips for Kids. And if you're driving, we don't want you trying to write this stuff down, so go to our website, which is answers4thefamilyblog.com. Leave us your information. We will forward it to her.
Louise, it was great talking to you.
Yes, and if they want to teach etiquette, they can go to the Etiquette Ladies at our curriculum. It was really wonderful. I enjoyed the conversation so much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And to everybody out there, tune in again next week, and we will have another interesting guest for you.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk. Right here on LA Talk Radio.